From Washington, this is VOA News. I'm Ray Kugel reporting. Suspected Russian airstrikes killed at least 36 in northwest Syria. The British-based Syrian Observatory for Human Rights said most of those killed Sunday in the city of Idlib were fighters in the Army of Conquest rebel group, fighting forces loyal to Syrian President Bashar al-Assad. Rescue workers reported that 6 strikes hit a busy marketplace in the city, several government buildings, and a residential area. The Lebanese militant group Hezbollah says an Israeli airstrike Sunday near the Syrian capital killed one of its fighters. They say the man killed, Samir Kantar, had spent 3 decades in prison for murder in Israel before being a part of a prisoner exchange. Kantar had gone to Syria to fight alongside President Bashar al-Assad's forces. Kantar's brother spoke to the media.
Since the early hours of his freedom, after the Lebanese resistance succeeded in releasing him on the 17th of July 2008, the Israelis were threatening him, and he was an Israeli target.
Sunday's airstrike hit a building in Jarimana, a suburb south of Damascus. Israel welcomed Kantar's death, but did not claim responsibility for it. An Air France flight was forced to make an emergency landing in Kenya after a suspicious device was found in a lavatory. No explosives were discovered, and the head of the airline says it was a false alarm. Joseph Nkasiri is Kenya's Interior and Security Minister.
The investigation is still continuing. A few passengers of concern are being interrogated to find out exactly what has caused this.
The Boeing 777 made an emergency landing at the airport in Mombasa. All 459 passengers and 14 crew were safely evacuated. This is VOA News. UN-brokered peace talks on Yemen ended Sunday in Geneva with a broad agreement that the war has to end, but no major breakthroughs. Officials from Yemen's recognized government and the Houthi rebels will meet again next month. Yemeni officials say recent fightings killed at least 68 people in Hadja province, that's near the border with Saudi Arabia. More than 36 survivors of an overturned ferry in central Indonesia have been plucked from rough seas. An official with Indonesia's National Agency for Disaster Management told VOA they found 37 survivors and the bodies of 3 children in the choppy water since the boat went down on Saturday. Rescue operations are to resume Monday morning. The ferry was headed from Kalaka to Siwa, towns on the Sulawesi Island, when it encountered the bad weather. Chinese state media reports 59 people are still missing after an enormous landslide hit an industrial park in southern China, burying 22 buildings. Officials say 4 people were rescued from the debris, 3 of them with minor injuries. The Xinhua News Agency says the landslide struck Shenzhen in Guangdong Province Sunday morning and ended up covering the area in a sea of mud and triggering a gas line explosion nearby. Hundreds of people protested in New Delhi against the release Sunday of the youngest person convicted in the fatal 2012 gang rape of a woman that sparked international outrage and led to changes in India's rape laws. Among those protesting were the parents of the woman who was beaten and raped by 6 men aboard a bus. Police say the youngest attacker, then only 17 years old, was the most brutal of the rapists, who beat the victim with an iron rod before sexually assaulting her. The teenager was sentenced to 3 years of detention, the maximum penalty allowed. Police say the convict, now 20, has been handed over to a charitable organization. The Afghan Taliban overran a key district in a bid to seize control of the entire southern province of Helmand. The insurgent victory came hours after the provincial deputy governor warned Helmand was standing on the brink of falling to the Taliban unless urgent action is taken. A Taliban spokesman told VOA its fighters captured the administrative center of the Sangin district and surrounded scores of retreating Afghan security forces. Rwanda's National Electoral Commission says practically every voter supports lifting terms for President Paul Kagame. More than 98% of voters in the referendum decided to choose a change in the Constitution, allowing Mr. Kagame to seek another term and potentially rule the country until 2034. His current term expires in 2017. I'm Ray Kugel in Washington.
That's the latest world news from VOA.